Take a look at a nationwide supply shortage of chemotherapy drugs. Doctors in 40 states now say that at least one chemo drug is in short supply. That, according to a survey last month by the Society of Gynecologic Oncology, doctors are rationing drugs, reportedly switching drugs when they have to, and it could be causing patients' quality of life and chances of recovery as a result. So we're talking about the national shortage of chemotherapy drugs this afternoon. And if you or a loved one are currently undergoing cancer treatment, if your cancer regimen's been affected by some of these shortages, we'd love to hear from you at 1-800-642-1234. If you work in the field of oncology, let us know what you're seeing today at 1-800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Dr. Carrie Wasinski is the professor and chief of hematology, medical oncology, and palliative care at the UW-Madison Department of Medicine. She is also associate director of clinical research and co-lead of the breast cancer disease-oriented team at the UW Carbone Cancer Center. Dr. Wasinski, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for having me here today to discuss this really important topic.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm very curious what you're seeing. We've seen the numbers and the stats, but what are you experiencing in terms of shortages? What in your practice?
Yeah, so like what's going on nationally, we here at UW Health and the UW Carbone Cancer Center have also experienced a shortage of one particular chemotherapy called carboplatin, and a little bit of a watch, what I call, on another drug called cisplatin. These are both shortage of drugs that are known to be in shortage nationally. We have been doing well with some of the other chemotherapies that are on national shortage, but we have had both carboplatin and cisplatin that have been keeping an eye on.
And what do carboplatin and cisplatin do, Dr. Wasinski?
Yeah, great question. So both of these are within the platinum class of chemotherapy, which really attacks how DNA is replicated in cancer cells and therefore has anti-cancer effects, used for many different types of cancer. So everything from lung cancer to breast cancer to ovarian cancer, bladder cancers, and some pediatric cancers.
Dr. Wasinski, are there viable alternatives to these drugs if they are in short supply or they are without entirely?
So sometimes you can switch from one chemotherapy to another chemotherapy. So like I said before, here at the University of Wisconsin, we've been more experienced a shortage with carboplatin, and cisplatin we're in better supply of. And so we know that those two can sometimes be interchangeably used, not always, but sometimes. And so that exchange can be made. And then sometimes for cancers, there are equivalent other chemotherapy options. And so we have been looking to identify when there is an equivalent option, whether we should use that instead for that individual patient.
So have we seen doctors reducing dosages of drugs or switching to others at this point already? And is this something that we expect to continue?
It's a good question. We have definitely been taking the approach of switching to equivalent alternative medications more than reducing the dose intentionally up front. We've done other actions to also conserve drug, conserve the chemotherapy. So for example, sometimes we would release a chemotherapy before a patient would arrive here to be able to make their process in the day here more quick. But if we aren't sure that they'll absolutely meet the treatment parameters that day, you know, we're holding and not releasing that that chemotherapy until we know that they're definitely getting it that day so that we don't end up wasting any additional medication.
Dr. Carrie, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just going to reintroduce you quick, but if you had more to add to that, I'd be interested in hearing it.
Yeah, so, you know, I think the hardest thing that we've had to make decisions about is that sometimes we don't have an alternative that is as good. And, you know, often when we're thinking about chemotherapy, it's a course of chemotherapy. So not just what I'm giving to that patient today, what I'm going to be planning to give over a course of several months. And I think one of the most difficult decisions we've had to make, me working with my patients as an individual physician, is, you know, do we start on a treatment course knowing that it's possible that in the next few weeks we wouldn't have that medication versus do we go with a different approach that maybe isn't quite an equivalent alternative, but that at least I know we'll have the full course. So.
So if you change course in throughout the chemotherapy treatment, does that change the efficacy of that treatment, Dr. Wasinski?
It depends, I guess would be my answer to that. So sometimes, no. Sometimes, if you switch to an equivalent similar agent and it's in the same class like cisplatin and carboplatin, sometimes no, but sometimes it can. And so I think it's a very much a decision that each physician needs to make with their the patients and their families in the situation that they're facing.
Dr. Carrie Wasinski, our guest, professor and chief of hematology, medical oncology, and palliative care at the UW-Madison Department of Medicine, also associate director of clinical research and co-lead of the breast cancer disease-oriented team at the UW-Carbone Cancer Center. And we invite your experiences and stories if you are in the oncology field, if you are a patient with cancer and have seen some of the effects of these shortages. We welcome you to join us at 1-800-642-1234. Is this something you've seen in your practice before, Dr. Wasinski?
That's a really good question. Yeah, this is actually something that we've been experiencing over the last several to many years in oncology.
Wow.
It's also being experienced in, some of our related fields outside of oncology. So these are generic chemotherapies. And in the US, in the United States, the production of these generic chemotherapies occurs really at a few facilities. What led to this issue was that inspection at one of these facilities led to a safety or quality issue, and that shut down that production line. And because it's only produced at a few places, there wasn't the ability to ramp up that supply in a quick way. And so we've seen this with other chemotherapy drugs. There are others that were concerned that might continue to be affected in the next few months. So really what our national organizations, our national oncology organizations, our national pharmacy organizations have been doing is working with our policymakers in our national government to really increase the awareness on of the importance of having consistent production of these generic chemotherapy agents so that we don't run into these types of issues again in the future.
Why aren't we seeing more places produce these generic drugs, Dr. Wasinski?
I don't know if I have a complete answer to that. What has occurred is that the number of companies that produce generic medications in general, but generic chemotherapy specifically, has decreased over the years. And so, when one production line or one facility is not able to make it, there isn't the ability to ask another company to step in and increase their production.
So, with the shortages, do you expect them to continue? And are you operating under the assumption that they will continue and get worse?
So the good news for us here at UW Health and the UW Carbone Cancer Center is that we have now secured some additional carboplatin. And like I indicated before, we've been always in a good supply of cisplatin. So I think we're in the position right now that we're cautiously optimistic that everybody who is being treated with these chemotherapy agents or that needs to come in and start treatment with these chemotherapy agents that will be able to do it. We do worry, though, that we don't have a definitive supply chain. We don't know for sure that our order in a week or 2 or 3 weeks is definitely going to come in. So we're still being, I think, cautious in ensuring that we limit waste and that we use alternative regimens when possible.
Dr. Carrie Wasinski is joining us, professor and chief of hematology, medical oncology, and palliative care at the UW-Madison Department of Medicine. We're talking about the current shortage we're seeing in chemotherapy drugs, and we are seeing a few here in Wisconsin. And if it's something that you've experienced, if you're undergoing cancer treatment, if you have questions, if you are a cancer survivor, what would you like to see change here to prevent more chemotherapy drug shortages in the future? What are your questions about cancer and cancer treatments for our guest? 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email us, ideas@WPR.org. Our conversation with Dr. Wasinski continues coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Lee Rayburn, and we're picking up our conversation about chemotherapy drug shortages and how they're affecting cancer patients. Our guest is Dr. Kerry Wasinski, Professor in Chief of Hematology, Medical Oncology, and Palliative Care at the UW-Madison Department of Medicine. And we invite you to join our conversation at 1-800-642-1234. What do you want to know about cancer treatment and recovery from our guest oncologist today? 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. And Dr. Wasinski, you mentioned, alluded to the fact that these shortages in part are because drug production was paused following an inspection that raised some concerns about the production of these drugs. How do you interpret that as an oncologist? What does that mean to you?
Well, I think every medication that we prescribe, we want to make sure that is manufactured in a safe way so that we know when we're prescribing and delivering that agent that it is, you know, past its quality inspection. So the FDA's clearance of this type of production is incredibly important. And one of the limitations that we know we face with many of these medications is that that also impacts the ability to import from other countries. So, you know, recently, just this week, the FDA did announce that they are going to allow temporary importation of some of these chemotherapy drugs, the cisplatin, carboplatin, from other countries. But this is really important to ensure that we have safe, high quality medications that we are giving. And on the other hand, when, you know, this leads to a shortage because we can't increase production of a high quality product, that is really, you know, disappointing in the United States, where we should have really high quality access for all of our patients.
And are you confident about the quality of the imported carboplatin and cisplatin that'll come to the United States?
I am. I think the FDA is a reliable organization that will only allow importation of high quality products.
Let's go to your questions now for our guest, Dr. Kerry Wasinski, at 1-800-642-1234, where Allie in La Crosse is standing by. Allie, good afternoon.
Hi there.
Hi, what do you have?
So I'm an infusion pharmacy technician, and so I make all of the chemotherapy drugs that the patients receive. Like, I physically put the drugs into the bag and stuff. And I just wanted to bring up the point that I don't think a lot of people realize that a lot of times we're throwing away vials of medication because we can't vial share between patients due to how it has to be billed through insurance. So it's just, you know, as a tech, you know, you see the shortages of medication, and it like breaks you a little bit having to throw away essentially a full vial of medication because it's, you know, we only needed 5 milligrams out of a 200 milligram bottle. And we have to throw the entire thing away because of how it has to be billed through insurance. So I don't know what the answer obviously is, but I definitely think it's a point that, like, should be brought up.
Allie, thank you for bringing up this point. And Dr. Wasinski, what about the waste involved in the supplying of chemotherapy drugs and the inability to vial share?
Yeah, thanks to Allie for bringing that up. And thanks also for what she does, because I know that that's an important part of our care delivery for patients as well. So, you know, there are some ways to adjust to that. You know, we try to minimize waste. And so, you know, I think that if there is a very small amount that is going to come out of a vial, and we don't think that that small amount is enough to have an impact on a patient's care. So, you know, if it's a less than a certain percentage, that we know that that is never going to be an impact on how well the chemotherapy works for that individual's cancer, then we try to conserve that vial. So there are some system approaches that can be done to limit that waste. But I think Allie brings up really good points that there are opportunities for us to think about ensuring that we give chemotherapy safely, because ultimately that is a high priority, but also limit waste.
Dr. Kerry Wasinski, Professor and Chief of Hematology, Medical Oncology, and Palliative Care at the UW-Madison Department of Medicine, our guest. Your calls continue at 1-800-642-1234. Karen in Madison joins us next. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, and thank you for having this educational program. I'm wondering, what is the cost difference between when pharmaceuticals got full price for their drugs and the generic drugs, what's the difference in the price that the pharmaceutical companies get for these things, wondering if that's causing them to no longer make the drug. And there was one other question, only I'm having trouble with my memory. So.
Well, let's ask that question of our guest, Dr. Wyszynski, and how much of this has to do with the business of pharmaceuticals and the money that is made or the differential with generics, Dr. Wyszynski?
Yeah, I do think it's a lot of what is occurring right now. You know, when we think about the production of generic medications, generic chemotherapy in this setting, the margin, how much a pharmaceutical company makes from the production of that drug and this ultimate sale and delivery is less. And so the incentivization of those companies to make these types of agents is lower. So that's really where we have to think about our national policies and how we might, as a nationwide effort, incentivize the production of generic chemotherapies and other generic medications because they're important for our patient care.
Thank you. And Karen, thank you for the call. We continue with your questions next with Kim and Madison joining us. Kim, you're on the air with Dr. Carrie Wyszynski.
Hi, my question is, my husband has bladder cancer and he's been treated with BCG coming up on 2 years. And I know not in the Madison area, but nationwide, there had been a shortage of BCG. And so they were cutting the dose or using other medications. And his urologist had said that they've used gemcitabine and docetaxel and are having very good results with that. And I'm just wondering whether the UW is using gemcitabine and docetaxel instead of BCG or as an alternate to BCG, and what your thoughts are on that.
Dr. Wyszynski, are you familiar with that?
So that is not my area of expertise, so I am not familiar with what we are using in a replacement there. You know, I can talk a little bit to how we in general approach these drug shortages. So if there is a shortage predicted or a potential shortage occurring, now, first of all, we try to identify potential shortages early and, you know, pre-purchase as much as we can to have access for our patients. That's always our priority. And then, like I was mentioning before, if there isn't sufficient supply, if we don't have enough of the drug, and then we really try to identify alternatives. So as the caller was alluding to, you know, things like other chemotherapy agents or other treatments that might be a reasonable alternative, hopefully as good at a treatment, but sometimes not as good. And we have to figure out what is the best plan with the resources we have.
Dr. Wyszynski, June is Cancer Survivors Month, and one of although we've been talking about these drug shortages, it should not go without mentioning that our cancer survivor rate has increased dramatically. The more we know, the more we screen, and the more we treat, the more access to health care we have. And so what has that been like from your standpoint as an oncologist to see more and more people being able to survive with a cancer diagnosis?
It's been a really exciting part of my career, I guess is what I'll say. I've been doing this for almost 15 years now, and to be able to see continual advances in how do we make early cancer diagnoses, screening, how do we treat cancers better, how do we help those people who are impacted by those cancers, you know, be more likely to survive their cancer diagnosis, have a better quality of life after their cancer diagnosis. Those aspects have been really, really rewarding to see.
And what are some of the new therapies on the horizon of cancer treatment? And what are you looking for into the future of your practice?
Great question. So I think there's a few really exciting recent developments in cancer treatment and things that are coming. So first, I think, you know, we've really seen immunotherapy have a huge impact on how people are doing who are living with cancer at this point in time. We already have seen this for multiple different types of cancer. And I think we are continuing to learn how to leverage the immunotherapies for additional patients impacted by cancer. So how do we do that even better? Second, I think that there's some really interesting and exciting research and newer treatment or newer testing platforms coming out where we're looking at blood based DNA, but looking for tumor DNA in the blood. And so this is now being looked at for early cancer diagnosis, almost like a screening test. This is now being looked at for monitoring how well people are doing on active cancer treatment. And in the survivorship realm, looking to see if we can identify earlier if the cancer is recurring or not, and then can we do alternative treatments to not have that cancer recur. So I think these circulating tumor DNA blood tests are really exciting. I think they're very early, but they are an exciting future direction.
Hey, Dr. Wyszynski, thank you so much for joining us today, and I very much look forward to having you back again.
Well, thank you for having me, and I do think this is an incredibly important issue, so I hope that all of us continue to advocate for national improvements.
Dr. Carrie Wyszynski, Professor and Chief of Hematology, Medical Oncology, and Palliative Care at the UW-Madison Department of Medicine, also Associate Director of Clinical Research and co-lead of the Breast Cancer Disease-Oriented Team at the UW-Carbone Cancer Center. She joined us today to take a look at the ongoing chemotherapy drug shortages we're seeing across the country and right here in Wisconsin.